This morning we're going to seemingly jump ahead on our timeline to the Babylonian exile, which takes place centuries after Abraham and Sarah. The Hebrews need to get to Egypt and rescued out through the Red Sea. We'll have David and Solomon and all of the kings, and then only after that will the exile happen. And that may seem a little bit strange, since the announced goal for worship this morning is to do a final reflection on the creation stories of Genesis 1 to 11. Well, you're just going to have to bear with me. There is method to this madness, and it does, in fact, all connect. Shall we pray? Lord God of the story, Alpha and Omega, once again we seek to hear your word, to listen to your voice, and to hear the voices that are within us, and to bring them together so that we might be faithful. In Jesus' name. Amen. By the waters of Babylon, we sat and wept. It is the case that sometimes life deals us a rotten hand, or at least it feels that way, because we find ourselves far from whatever our particular promised land might be. I had hoped for this. Now fill in the blanks. But instead, here I am. And you fill in the blanks. For the Israelites exiled in Babylon, the psalmist framed it in memorable words as they were weeping in Babylon. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? Call it a rotten hand or whatever you want to call it, there do come those times. Some of them are very brief and very personal, but some of them are extended and they seem to just cover the whole earth as we think about it, when life is not turning out the way that I had hoped. As I said, the scale can be large. We can sometimes become oppressed by the feeling that our country is going to the dogs, or it may be much more private. My life is in ruins. Regardless, I'm suggesting that exile is a powerful word which captures all of these times. Exile is the gap between hopes and expectations and reality. When I think of what I had hoped for, but how things are actually turning out, I could just weep. You can have that sense of exile in a marriage, or in parenting, or within your own body, your own health. You can feel that in society. When I think of how things are turning out, where I am compared to where I wanted to be, I could just weep. Now, I want to stay with this, but I will again say we are moving toward the creation stories in a very interesting way. But staying with the theme of exile, something that we know that bears repeating is that story is so powerful. Stories, narratives, just get in our heads. Isn't it the case that during hard times, our thoughts and feelings just start going round and round and round in closed loops? And it's dead-end thinking. Sometimes people who are stuck will say, I just keep going in circles. There's the dream of what we wanted, the reality of what's gone wrong. The dream of what we wanted, the reality of what's gone wrong. Maybe this would fix it, but it doesn't. Maybe it would, but it doesn't. And we go round and round. Yes, but, yes, but, yes, but, yes, but. Have you ever gotten stuck that way? The imagination is dead, and it creates hopelessness. That's what I'm calling a narrative or a story. As you tell yourself the realities of what's happening in your life. Now, those thoughts then have companions, and those companions are feelings. Disappointment and depression and maybe anger. If you listen again to the raw emotion of Psalm 137, it's like all that could come to mind was rage. I hope the day comes when somebody overtakes you Babylonians and smashes your children on the rocks. I had to think of Jesus' dark moment. My God, why have you forsaken me? In such moments, when we are stuck in hopeless ways of thinking and trapped in our feelings, what is needed is another story. Something else to put into our heads and to put into our hearts, and now is when we finally arrive at Genesis 1 to 11, because this was the function of these texts. This was a narrative that takes people beyond themselves and gives broader perspective. It takes us back to the foundation of this earth. This sermon title might have been Story Meets Story. Now, here's the key factoid. It all hinges on this. You have to believe it or not. That is the fact that both conservative and liberal biblical scholars agree that it was in the exile that the creation stories came to the forefront. I want to say that once more beyond the phone call. It was in the exile that the creation stories came to the forefront. At a minimum, this is when they came into focus. Very likely, it was during this time that they were first written down and they passed from oral history to written form. In other words, as written stories that came into focus, they came out of the exile. They're ancient stories, true, transmitted orally, but relatively new as far as getting legs and coming into being. It was in that period of near hopelessness that they became scripture for God's people. That's very understandable. For the Israelites in Babylonian captivity, one of the dead-end loops in their heads was, our God is a loser. I guess the Babylonian gods are stronger. So much for counting on God. You can just hear the taunting by the Babylonian captors. Hey, sing us one of those Jerusalem songs. It was more in the vein of, hey, why don't you sing for us one of your ditties? You guys are losers, and your God is a loser. And look around you. Who's winning? Who's winning? You're losing. Who's winning? You're losing. That's the story that's going round and round in their mind, and finally it drives them to tears. How can we sing of our God? How can we even remember Zion and Jerusalem? But there's another story. There's another story. Today, we here at the Mennonite Church of Normal are in this other story. We call it the true story. And that other story, that alternative narrative, comes in the Bible in various voices. Some of it was told by the prophets and the psalmist. The narrative is this. Well, yes, here's where things went wrong, but hang in there. There's hope. The day is coming. Put that in your heads. The day is coming. Isaiah said, our God reigns. Our God reigns. And that's why I wanted those texts from Isaiah and Psalms read prior to the sermon. If the psalmist gives words to despair, the prophets give the alternative of hope. They tell the exiles, get your minds around this. And then for the exile, there were brought to mind these deep stories, the foundational stories about God and the world. Our God is not small. Our God is not just a regional God. Our God is not a loser. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all that lives and moves and has life. At a time when their world was collapsing in on them, nowhere outside of the boundaries did they see any options. And what was gifted to them was this large, expansive story. The story that says, if we think of Genesis 1 and 2 and 3, in the farthest reaches of this globe, including right here by the waters of Babylon, which God created, God's goodness is present and visible and available. It has the potential for life. Our God is Lord of all creation, not just a minor deity of a certain little promised land. I'm going to cheat again in the biblical story, but it's not cheating. I think it's a wonderful way, the way all of Scripture seems to come at things from different angles. Consider the advice of Jeremiah in what he wrote to those exiles and how it connects with Genesis. He said, seek the peace of the city, and if the city where you are right now, all you can do is cry, this is horrible and terrible, if it isn't good yet, don't just sit there and whine and weep, redeem it. And so Jeremiah says, marry, plant crops, seek fruitfulness as you inhabit the entire globe, which is an exact mirror of what was written in Genesis and assigned to humankind. Scatter throughout the globe. Be fruitful and multiply. Don't get caught within your little world, because this is God's big world, and wherever you find yourself in God's big world, bless it. And now I'm jumping into your Sunday school lesson, the call of Abraham to be a blessing to all the nations. Even these terrible Babylonians. And so what the creation story does, its function, the reason I believe it comes to life during the exile, not only it, but Noah and so forth, it stirs the imagination and asks, in essence, a question to those people that are sitting and weeping. And it's a question that can come to us in our exiles. What is God's dream, and what would that mean here and now? And now I'm going to make yet another of those huge scriptural leaps. When I talk about receiving this large story and having it shape our world and be the counterpoint to the stories of despair, what does it mean in the worst of circumstances when Paul says, have the mind of Christ? Whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is noble, dwell on those things. Story meets story. And the story of a good and majestic and awesome and creating God can be brought to bear to every exile. To every exile. And after every storm, there is not abandonment, but there is a rainbow. And again, jumping, how it all ties together. Nothing separates us from the love of God. It's the gospel of Genesis. It's the gospel in Paul. It's the gospel in Jesus. It's connecting threads, and there's other threads that come in. One of them that is powerfully evident in Genesis 1-11 is grace. The conclusion is that of God reminding, not us, but God reminding himself, I will remember that I will never get to the point where the bottom line is going to be destruction. Rainbows will follow storms. Grace will trump all. Now, there's other threads that are learnings, less easy to hear, but are perspectives which I think can temper current suffering. One of those learnings from Genesis 1-11 is that the nature of the human journey will include challenge and pain. That is, as Scott Peck once said memorably in The Road Less Traveled, the road forward is out of the garden and it is through the desert. It will include challenge and pain. This is now going to be the narrative of the human creature, but the pain is going to be, dare I say, the pain of childbirth. Eve, who deserves death, is not barren. She still has the capacity to create life. She's not barren. We're going to track barrenness now several times in the story as it goes. And even these people, who perhaps deserved death, were still provided for. They were clothed. They had shelter, they had food, they had a family tree, they had offspring. Even on Cain, the murderer, was a mark of protection that kept him from annihilation. And I don't know what all of these things might mean, but again, I think to myself of somebody weeping by the waters of Babylon, caught up in tears. And there had to have been this echo that says, "You are not abandoned. You are not abandoned." Even when consequences occur, grace trumps judgment. Forgot my Bible. I've been mentioning the way that texts, you can come at them from all angles. Maybe they don't satisfy those of us that would like nice, neat logic unfolding in a linear and chronological way. I just think that this true story is like any marvelous story. It comes at us from all angles. I conclude by calling your attention to Isaiah 52, Isaiah 53, and Isaiah 54. Again, texts that likely came into being, or at least came to have powerful focus during the exile. Julie read the first seven verses from Isaiah 52. I'll actually end with that seventh verse, but looking ahead to 53 and 54. Exile. Which in a way God also experienced. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. What a disappointment that must have been. To come as a son of God and to be scorned and rejected. It's our story too. All we like sheep, it says in chapter 53, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. But we look then to verse 54. Out of all of this, this human condition, these places far from our hopes. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy. You who are never in labor because more the children of the desolate woman, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, seek the peace of the city. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Amen.